I will officially call the board meeting to start at officially commence at 5:35 p.m. Next on the, I will share board members. Mr. Anderson is not going to join us either today. He and his team are in Long Beach, and I believe they're driving back as we speak. This was the last couple of days they had the opportunity to attend some professional development. I think he spoke a little bit about it as it relates to they're starting a movement book and really developing a learning program that addresses some of the learning loss that the children have been experiencing. So that is where he is at. I want to say it's the professional learning community. And I know he had spoke a little bit about that at some of the other meetings. So this was their big kickoff weekend to go to Long Beach and get some additional professional development. So I think they're en route back to El Centro as we speak. So we'll have to hear about that at the next meeting. Welcome, Miss Lily.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So next on the agenda is public comment. I don't believe there's any from El Centro. I don't see any. And Ms. Shannon?
Nobody from San Bernardino.
No. Moving on is the agenda action items. It's the approval of the minutes. And I believe we can take maybe one. We can treat it as one action item, an approval of the September 6 minutes and approval of the September 9 minutes. The September 9 minutes, I just noted that we did not have a meeting, but I wanted it to at least have a to go on record that we, since we didn't have quorum, that we were not able to have an official meeting. With that, do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
Sure. Motion to approve both minutes, Carla.
I have a first. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Denise? I have a first and a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, I will call for the roll call vote. Carla?
Yes.
Lily?
Yes.
Dixie?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Motion carries with 4 roll call votes. Thank you. Next on the agenda is ratification of our unaudited financial report for El Centro. It should just be El Centro. I know board members that we had approved officially the San Bernardino one on our September 6 meeting, I do believe. So this one would be just a ratification of the unaudited financials for El Centro. Because we did not have a board meeting on September 9, we did not meet quorum. The report was due to the school district. So rather than being late with its submission, I went ahead and submitted the unaudited financial report. So that is why we're calling it a ratification versus an approval. As I alluded to, and when we were talking about the San Bernardino unaudited financial report, that El Centro most likely would end positive as well. I don't think there are any surprises either on this unaudited financial report. El Centro has always had a very large ending balance. So this year just contributed to that ending fund balance. El Centro does have a reserve as well. Are there any questions or may I entertain a motion to ratify the unaudited financial reports for El Centro?
Move to approve.
I have a first. Do I have a second?
I'll second, Dixie.
Dixie, I have a first and a second. Any discussion?
I just want to comment El Centro for the nice bottom line.
Yes. I thank you, Carla. I know we board members and you were part of our ride this last school year on our fiscal journey with El Centro. We watched it very closely. And there were points there where we really had to, as you're aware, make some staffing adjustments to make sure that we ended positive. So definitely this took a lot of work and definitely a good accomplishment. As you recall, we had dipped in enrollment significantly from the budget, as well as our ADA did take hits at definitely critical times throughout the school year. So it was a great accomplishment to see the positive. Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, I will call for the vote. Carla?
Yes.
Lily?
Yes.
Dixie?
Yes.
And Denise?
Yes.
Motion carries with 4 roll call votes. Next on the agenda is our standing agenda to approve the ability to continue our virtual meetings. Going forward, it's our 30-day requirement. Do I have a motion to approve our virtual meetings?
Motion to approve.
Carla, I have a first. Do I have a second?
I'll second, Dixie. I'm sorry, I'm trying to jump in.
That's okay.
And jump off of one. So I will second correct. That.
Thank you. So I have a first and I have a second. Any discussion? Yes. You're welcome. Hearing none, I will go for the roll call vote. Carla?
Yes.
Lily?
Yes.
Dixie?
Yes.
And Denise. And no one else joined, right? That was
me.
Okay, that cool. Was me. All right. That's what I thought, but I wanted to make sure I did it. Motion passes with 4 roll call votes. Thank you. Next on the agenda is the approval of our English language learner reclassification students for San Bernardino. Board members, we had brought before you, I want to say a couple months ago, a request that we might reclassify El Centro's English language learners. After a review of the criteria, San Bernardino is also now proposing to reclassify 4 of their students from English language learner status. I gave you in your board packet just a really brief summary of what reclassification is. I think you've seen this before, though. And then the criteria to be used for reclassification, which is really an assessment, an official assessment of their English language proficiency. And that's a standard test given by the state. And then we look at teacher evaluation, parent consultation, and then also a review of their basic skills, such as using our state testing scores or some of our other assessments. And based on that, we are recommending that 4 students actually meet all of those criterion to be moved from English learner status. Shannon, do you want to say anything as it relates to this? I know you and your team work very hard to move the students through.
Sorry, I was muted.
That's okay.
This is about a little over 10% reclassification rate, which is still lower than what we want to be, but much higher than what we have been in the past. And the law changed a couple of years ago where it couldn't be an evaluation of how they did on that English language proficiency assessment. it has to be a four. It's a scale of 1 to 4. And now to reclassify, it has to be a 4 along with the other three criteria. So this year we had 4 students reach that 4 on the LPAC. The students, the scores just got released. They're still embargoed at this point, but they got released last month. So we looked at them and we consulted with the parents, we consulted with the teachers, and all 4 of them are students who have been with us for a number of years. And they have worked very hard. So we're very excited to be able to say that they've taken this big step.
And board members, this impacts, as if you might recall from our intensive financial fiscal training, this impacts in our unduplicated count and our English language learner count under the funding of LCFF, the local control funding formula. They do give extra funding dollars towards English language learners, as well as our ultimately our unduplicated count percentage. So that's why it's also important that we bring it to you as well. So we'll be making a change in CalPAD for these students as well.
As a side note, all 4 of these students do qualify for unduplicated status for multiple reasons. So it should not have an impact on the budget at all.
Thank you. Do I have a motion to approve the reclassification of the 4 students?
I move to approve, Dixie.
Dixie, do I have a second?
I'll second. I tried to make a motion. Dixie beat me to it.
I saw your square. It lit up. I knew you were trying to say.
It's like a game show, right?
I know. Oh my gosh. It's something like one of those skills you never thought you'd learn, you know, like now you look for the green square. So those are the takeaways of Zoom for us, man. Okay, I have a first, I have a second. Any discussion? Then, okay, Carla?
Yes.
Lily?
Yes.
And Dixie?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Motion passes with 4 roll call votes. Thank you, board members. Shannon, I am going to turn this next one over to you.
I'm so excited. I'm not going to
steal any of your thunder. It is all yours.
I am very, very excited to bring this to the board. It's been a long time coming. And please forgive me, I can't recall if any of the board members have ever visited San Bernardino, but if you haven't, you can see when you walk to the building, you can see that the front is entirely open. And we do have some students that are too big to play on the back playground. So our older students play in the front of the building, and we use cones, you know, to block off where cars should be, but it's definitely not ideal. And even short of that, it's our drop-off area, it's our pickup area, it's completely exposed to whatever elements might want to visit us. We have in the past had people struggling with mental health or addiction issues try to come into the building. We've had animals, we had coyotes, things like that. So now this year, we are looking at additional one-time funds for facilities along with some other one-time funds. So Doreen and I spoke and we got several quotes for fencing around the front of the building. And we've worked with my safety coordinator and we do have a person on staff, our current art and science teacher who used to be a contractor. So we worked with him and we designed it where there will be a double gate in front of the front walkway. And then there will be 4 gates, like pedestrian gates, where the drop off and pickup area is. So 4 cars at a time can pick up or drop off. Then there will be a separate pedestrian gate on the other side of the building. And I believe if we scroll down, there's a drawing of what it will look like. So you can see the gates for the cars will be 5 feet across, and the pedestrian gates on the side of the building will be 5 feet across. And we're just very, very excited about this. And I would love to answer any questions you might have. We did get 3 different quotes. We did not go with the lowest quote because they did not seem exceptionally knowledgeable. So we went with the midline quote. They seemed very knowledgeable. They knew what to do with fire department. We do not need any city permits because it's all internal. We do need a fire permit. And at this time it is pending. I did misspeak when I said that it was approved. It was approved at the first level. Turns out there's another level. So we're still waiting on that. But what questions can I entertain or answer for you?
Has it always been a problem with security from day one?
Yes. And the gate itself is 6 feet high with another foot of a curved, I don't know what you call it. There's a specific name for it. It's a curved piece of steel, and that will keep people from climbing over it. So it's a total of 7 feet. But because of the significant cost, Doreen and I thought it would be wise to bring it to the board.
So when are they starting to build it, when it's approved and when it's going to be finished?
The project itself will only take 2 weeks.
Oh, that's not too bad.
No, it's not too bad at all. I do need to work with Doreen in back office to make sure that we can handle payment within those 2 weeks. So I don't think we have a specific date quite yet.
This point, we're very excited because, and I know that we'll probably speak more to this and later on under the budget updates. I had tried to give a summary, a high level summary of the governor's budget that a lot of was not at the time that we developed our initial school budget included. So I tried to call out those different areas. Granted, some of those areas are definitely restricted dollars. We have to purchase specific things with them. At the same time, we're excited because San Bernardino did do a tremendous effort on ending in the positive this year. So we thought that this would be one project that we should really prioritize to ultimately to safety. And, you know, as we kind of look to the, my goodness, the community around us, as well as nationally, it's becoming more and more important, I think, to really consider a more limited access to our school. And then the other thing now is we're really looking at cash flow. And that's probably going to be the primary determinant of when we really can move forward if approved on this project. This is almost like the worst time for schools. The state issues their apportionment payout schedule. The beginning of the school year, you know, you're trying to buy all your supplies, all of your buildup things, and that is the time when they provide you the least amount of your state funding. So at this point, probably not, at least for a couple months until we can begin to address some of the cash flow issues or until we can get into the area where, you know, the state increases their payment schedule in accordance with their CDE schedule. So really those were some of the two factors, really looking at the additional funding and the governor's budget since San Bernardino was able to end on a positive note, and we've done a really good job of paying off all of our prior debt, as well as making sure the timing times with cash flow.
Shannon, I have a couple of questions.
Sure.
It looks like, and forgive me, maybe I missed it. Maybe you did speak on this, but your report says that so far the city itself doesn't require a building permit or anything of that nature.
Correct.
The fire department requires something.
The fire department does require a permit. It's considered a modification.
Okay.
And so they are requiring a permit. It's a pretty straightforward process, and they're not taking a tremendous amount of time to be responsive. Just when I wrote the report, I had received a positive feedback. What I didn't realize is it needed to go to another level. Okay. For an additional level of approval. So we're waiting on that one.
My understanding, and again, being with the municipality, is that most of the time, any type of a permanent fixture or improvement requires a building permit. And if this is a steel fence, you know, is it going to be, you know, concrete? Is there going to be concrete dug out poured for the footings to hold this fence up as far as structurally? And usually that requires some sort of a building permit because you're changing, you know, the footprint, so to speak, of the property.
That's what we thought as well, but we were in communication with the city and sent them these specific plans, and representatives from the city absolutely said, and we have it via email.
Okay.
That
okay.
No, go to the fire department.
Okay, perfect. And then
I just wonder if it's differing cities and city codes.
Right. Right. And so the fire department wouldn't charge an additional fee for their permit, or is that already included in the total estimated cost?
It's not included in the total estimated cost. At this time, we're not aware of any additional fee.
Fees. Okay. Okay.
I also want to clarify, Joseph, if you could move your mouse or something to indicate up by that 44 on the right-hand side, that thin dotted red line is actually a playground gate. And that's where the EHS playground is. And that gate is alarmed, which is why we brought the fencing a little bit further in to attach to the building. The fence would also be more secure if it was attached to a building as opposed to an existing fence. And then where down by where it says 5-foot gate and we have right there, those parking spots are disabled spots. That's why we didn't cut across. I don't know how to explain it. That where it's angled, and I'm touching my monitor like you all can see where I'm touching, but where it's angled at that 44 feet on the right-hand side, aesthetically, you would think that it would make more sense to have that diagonal line cut all the way out to where it heads east or west, I'm sorry. But because of where those cars are, that's where our disabled parking is. So that's why we had it cut in and then across the walkway and then out.
And are all of the gates going to remain locked? Is that why?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. The car gates where it says 5-foot gates with the arrows, those will not have the ability to be opened from the outside when they're closed. They'll of course have safety bars on the inside because that's part of the fire thing. We need to be able to get out quickly.
Right.
And the front walkway gate will not... I'm going to forget. The front walkway gate will have an external key, but the side walkway gate will not. So it will just be one gate that has an external key.
And that's where it says 3.5?
Yes.
Okay. And then the one to the left, the 5-foot gate all the way to the left by the green and yellow car. Yeah. So that one, there's no external key for that one?
There will not be an external key. Okay. It'll only be the safety bar on the inside.
Okay.
I'm wondering if, I know when we were putting together the school, the city was tough as far as like the different permitting processes and their approvals. You know what they really had a hard time with, Shannon, was the way the school sits. It kind of sits down, and this isn't shown here, but it sits down beneath the sidewalk almost.
Yeah.
So we had to put a handicap, railing and pathway. And that was where they really, they were non-negotiable. That had to be a certain way. Actually delayed, I think, the opening a little bit by a couple weeks until we were able to get that through. So I'm wondering if after that this is might be there could, I, maybe they're not considering this as permanent or so. I'm for lack of a better word, because Denise, I hear what you're saying.
Because I do too.
I remember even, and that was right. One of the things I told Shannon. I'm like, oh, you've got to get in connection with the city. I will tell you, they were so challenging.
Right.
And rightly so, because we were putting together a school. We were transforming a county building actually into a school. So they definitely, I said, we you know, were delayed. We had a really hard time.
I just know, again, being with a municipality that I don't tell anybody I said this, right? This is a public meeting though, so haha. we make people jump through hoops, right? They have to jump through hoops to, you know, because we have ordinances and rules and guidelines, and I'm just concerned because even for the simplest of fences, you know, it can't be over 6 feet or it can't be over 8 feet, depending on the type of business, depending on, you know, what type of school, depending on how many children and the capacity and where it's located. So they have all these height requirements and materials, and some agencies even require different, you know, what color is your fence? You know, they have guidelines for those. So I was curious. And then my other question about the cost itself is this Briseño Fence Company. And then I look at Precision General Contractors. Where were they getting their steel from? You know, what's the difference between, I know the cost of steel is outrageous right now, but you know, I've never seen, I'm not going to say never. It's rare to see such a huge fluctuation. I mean, it's like, wow, you know, you really have, you've run the gamut on your costs. And I'm just curious if all the bids came back, or, you know, if they misunderstood the request for the proposal, if they were giving different.
No, everybody was using the same drawing, the same sketch. They were very clear. I don't know why the one bid was so low, but it made me a little bit nervous as to why it was so low.
Yeah, like temporary fencing, or, you know, that's where I'm.
Yeah, we didn't want any surprises after the fact. And the other one, the other one was given by the contractor that did the EHS project. And we suspect that it was a little bit inflated.
Because maybe they didn't want the job.
Yeah, I don't have anything to back that up.
And are we required to pay prevailing wage, Doreen, when it's not a school? Okay.
No, and that's exactly, Shannon, when you mentioned that, and I'm wondering if that's what he quoted you as prevailing wage.
Because we actually had all three companies redo their quotes for us because their original quotes included prevailing wages.
Okay.
And so I had them redo them because they kept saying, your school, we have to do prevailing wages. And I said, I promise, we don't. And so they redid it, and this is still what they came back with. The one we chose dropped drastically. But the general contractor one, the really high one, did not.
And he did a lot of our work with our early Head Start, and we have to do prevailing wage because that was federal dollars. So that's where I was thinking he might have quoted as well.
That's where I was wondering if maybe Precision had done that as well. That's because that's the only thing I can see. I mean, materials aren't going to run too much, you know, but that labor cost is where a lot of the time you see the increase, especially with prevailing wage jobs. So if our school doesn't fall under that requirement, then yay. that's a good thing for us anyhow. I don't have any further questions. Thank you.
And just to clarify a little bit, the disabled parking that Doreen was talking about is not really visible on this map. It's all the way to the top and to the far left, right kind of where that dotted line is. That's where our back playground is, and we have a back gate and fence there. And that's it's behind the building. It's not visible on this map. There's a hill. And like Doreen was saying, it's below the sidewalk. So when you come in the driveway, you actually have to drive down a hill to park. It's not a big hill. And so there, what Doreen is talking about is the VOA and Ballantyne had to build a ramp from that sidewalk that was up high down to the walkway to get into our building. And I want to say there's three or four disabled spots right around where that walkway starts. Mm-hmm. And those are not being impacted at all.
Interestingly enough, when the county used the building, the ramp did not have to be there. So definitely when we came in, and I don't know if they were grandfathered in or what, but definitely that was a requirement for us. So we put that, and it was costly. It was costly in time as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So hopefully, Doreen, you said we're not going to do this project until we get more money from the state, or if we get some more money from the state. Is that what I understood?
Yes, yes. At this point, it's definitely cash flow. We could not move forward with this project right now, given our current cash flow status. It's interesting, the state's apportionment schedule, the more you go through the year, the percentage they pay you increases. It's not an even percentage, but as you get through the year, the percentage increases. And so when that occurs, then we will look at cash flow and to be able to see if we can support this project.
So is this just a suggestion, or, I mean, can we really approve it if the money is not there?
What I would recommend is that it's approved contingent upon cash flow and funding. Because ultimately, I believe the budget can support it. Now it's just a matter of cash flow and being able, since it's such a huge amount, being able to be able to support that huge amount at one time. Timing. It's timing.
So when does US Fence need to know, or how long is this bid open?
He's been great. He's been very communicative, and he says that he'll keep the quote open as pretty much as long as we need.
Okay.
Any other questions or comments?
Not for me.
Is it normal to approve something before we know we're going to have? I mean, I don't know. It's a little. I'm a little hesitant to say. Make a motion to approve this if we get the money.
I don't think there's any question that we will get the money.
It's timing.
It's strictly timing. When, because the state gives, you know, their apportionment schedule for base funding varies. It's not like they don't say you'll have the money on the 5th and the 26th of every month. It's really shaky. So that's why Doreen is saying we can't solidify a start date until we specifically know the date the next apportionment payment comes in. But we know that it will come.
And again, it's timing. It's completely timing. From a budget perspective, there's the funding. It's just the matter of receiving the funding from the state.
Are we looking for a motion to approve this?
We are. We are looking for a motion to approve.
Okay, I move to approve.
So I have a first. Is there a second?
I'll second. It's Lily.
Thank you, Lily. We kind of discussed, but I'll do a first and a second. Is there any further discussion? I see pensive faces. Should I call for, I'll go for the vote then? I have a first and a second. Hearing no discussion, I will go for the vote. Carla?
Yes.
That was hesitant. Thank you, Carla. I know you're, I saw you're thinking. I saw your thinking. Dixie?
Yes.
Lily?
Yes.
And Denise?
Yes.
Motion passes with 4 roll call votes. Thank you, board members. And I will assure you that I will not allow the project to begin unless we have the funding to support it. I know I'm such a broken record. I know Shannon and Bill get tired of me hearing that. Always, I'm constantly reminding them of where we're at as far as finances are. So I will.
And I will stay in touch as well about, you know, if the quote should change, permits, any curveballs that get thrown.
Okay, I'm going to go on to information item. And this almost dovetails a little bit with what we were talking about. The governor has really been, I think, very generous to education in his budget, his final budget. And again, we had to submit our budget earlier than when the final budget with the governor was approved. So I just wanted to summarize very briefly, board members, for you. And again, this is something that is still being worked out. They have preliminary estimates of how much increase in funding the schools are going to receive, but they haven't officially, and I say that officially, quote unquote, provided us with the exact numbers. So with that said, I will go ahead and give you an update. As far as it relates to our regular funding, our local control funding formula, we budgeted for a 6% increase. It actually ended, the budget ended with an increase of 13.7%. So there, when we will need to go back to our budget now and update our budget, and hopefully we can bring that to you within the next, I want to say, 1 or 2 board meetings. Again, they're still waiting. They have what they call the calculator that all of the financial people in the back office are still waiting on to be updated with all the governor's latest calculations. So again, there's approximately an additional 7% increase to what we budgeted to the local control funding formula. And it also talks about that whole hold harmless. And I know that was very controversial, where the districts were allowed to use their prior ADA and not be penalized, where charters were based on enrollment. And then all of the impacts from the pandemic, our ADA got hit pretty hard. They have determined a very complicated formula to so that the charters will be able to be held harmless for that. So we anticipate a little bit of additional funding from what we budgeted based on that. There's also an additional about $2,800 as a supplement based on our transitional kindergarten ADA. And that has not been budgeted as well. So this is all very positive for us. Then there is what they are calling a couple of special programs. There's the Learning Recovery Emergency Fund Block Grant, and that's really based on our unduplicated count, which we talked a little bit about earlier. But really, you can use it for a broad range of different items, such as anything to help instructional time, tutoring, early intervention, literacy, training, counseling, mental health services, other academic supports. And there's also what they're calling an art, music, and materials grant. And that too, unlike its name, is really loosely targeted again at any types of instructional materials for arts and sciences. And then there's a couple of new programs that are budget that he's allowed for in his budget, as well as what they're calling a literacy coach and reading specialist grant. And to qualify, you just need to be in elementary school. And we've got to write a plan, and that's about $450,000 that we have not budgeted. On the next page, though, I did want to give you the preliminary estimates based on the Arts Music Grant, the Expanded Learning Grant, and the Learning Recovery Grant. And these are all one-time new funding that we did not budget for. So Ballington Academy, you can see, is about for their arts, and again, preliminary, they're very clear to say preliminary, about $121,000 additionally. Expanded Learning Program, about $399,000. And then the Learning Recovery Grant is about $348,000. And then I also included it for San Bernardino, which is for the arts piece, is about $95,000. The Expanded Learning is about $312,000, and the Learning Recovery is about $272,000. So I wanted to share with you a little bit about some of the additional one-time funding that the governor has worked into his budgets for schools. Again, a huge focus on his transitional kindergarten, universal preschool for all, as well as those additional days and hours of student support for that extended learning program. And then of course, learning loss. Any questions on that? And again, these have not been budgeted into our school budget that you approved back in, I believe, May or June.
So you're saying you're going to update the budget based on this, and I guess you're going to budget the fence in there too, huh?
Correct. Correct. Okay. Yes. And we also need to update it also. Like I shared, we only budgeted for 6% increase in our state funding, and they're estimating 13.7. So that's an additional 7%, which that puts us, I think, in a very, knock on wood, very good position at this point. I probably should have shared this first, huh? And then we should have the fence project, huh? Shame on me, huh? It definitely is a better contextual, right? Any questions on the governor's budget? Again, I think he was very good to education in this last go round.
Well, that's great for all our schools.
Mm-hmm. Next, board members, I just wanted to give you an update on just COVID again. I feel like the world definitely wants it to go away, and they're acting as such. They did potentially put out a message that now public health leaders do not need to continue to test their unvaccinated staff. Those that were unvaccinated, we needed to weekly test. And now that has been removed. So again, I think it's one step where they're trying to move forward, move on from COVID. Just to mention one thing with the budget, I did just provide you with the latest on charter related legislation and some of the bills that were of high note. One that impacted the public school facilities, which was defeated. One that mandated new charter schools had to join CalSTRS, which was a big one. And one that imposed costly restrictions and more administrative requirements that was also defeated. I also included another board training opportunity. I feel like I know we've had a lot of governance this last year, but if any of board members, if you're interested again in having Brown Act training and fiscal oversight and board duties and Political Reform Act and conflict of interest training, they are facilitating a two-part webinar. This one's another webinar, November 9 and November 10. So if you are interested in that, please reach out to me and then I can register you. I know we've probably done that ad nauseum this last year, but if you are interested, let me know. And then I will move, if there's no other questions on those, just very brief update items. Shannon, I will transition to principals' reports. And then even maybe, I know the next piece is the Williams visit. So maybe you-
I can do it all at once.
Yeah, maybe you want to move right in there, huh?
Hey, Joseph, could you scroll down to the principals' report because I don't have my copy in front of me, please. I love that he knows which page it was exactly.
I know, that's impressive.
So we're in the fourth week or fifth week of school. So we're sort of fairly new into the school year. So right now we are focusing on our first assessments of the year. We just finished everything last week. The entire school, not the entire school, kindergarten through fifth grade, not TK, took MAP. And then TK through third grade took Dibbles and first through fifth grade took STAR. And MAP is the one that's nationally normed, but we wanted to do all three to get a better picture of where the students are. And we definitely had the summer slump that we see every year, but it's definitely for our returning students, it's still higher than it was at this time last year. So that's good. What I can say is 90% of our TK students from last year that are now kindergarten scored above, 90% scored above on their fluency, their phonics, all the different pieces of assessment. So we were really excited about that. We do have a new math curriculum that we bought over summer. It is PBL, project-based learning, and STEM aligned. And we have another in-person training tomorrow that we're very excited about. So everyone's really excited about that new math curriculum. So teachers are working on that, and that's a focus as well. And then the Williams visit, I'll get into that. And our other big focus right now, student engagement and relationships, teaching them those routines, the expectations, things like that. There's no intervention going on right now. That actually started yesterday. So it is going on. We use that data to identify students who needed the tier two intervention. And Ms. Pendry is doing pull out for K through three and push in for fourth and fifth. And I think that's further down. Joseph, you want to go ahead and scroll down? And I'm so sorry, board members. I cannot remember a thing until I see it in front of me. So ELOP and ACES are almost used interchangeably now. And God help me, I cannot understand how the two co-mingle. I really lean on Doreen for that. But we still do have a very high quality after school program, whether it's considered ELOP or ACES. And we still have a credentialed teacher that's the coordinator. We actually have three now, as of today, we have three of our after school staff that have 30-day substitute credentials as well. So we're really seeing some great activities. And one of the things I'm most excited about is the math curriculum actually has a dedicated after school component that complements both the traditional academic activities as well as the STEM projects that go with those activities. So we're pretty excited about that. And then as far as PD, I know we went into depth last month about the PD and the before school training that we had and things like that. But since then, we've had our early grades get training on Zoo Phonics, which is a dedicated phonics program we have for our very, very early readers. We have two teachers going through inductions through RIMS, which is our local consortium for induction and teacher training and things like that. And we are one student below budget, and we got an interest form. I'm pretty sure we're going to get there, but right at budget, but we do want to build back up to our 200. And I know that COVID gave us a really big impact and we're under enrolled, but we really want to build up to back to that 200 where we were. So we're full again. So we're really pushing the recruiting. And then if we want to scroll down some more, we're using student strengths. That is one thing we delved into, is now that we're at a point where we have a handle on our assessments and our instruction and support and things like that, we're identifying ways that we can, you know, for students who are still struggling, that we just can't seem to tap in, what's going on? We're trying to find ways to identify their strengths, you know, and we always do that. You know, we figure out what strengths are and use them to overcome obstacles. But for these students in particular, we're really drilling down to find out what are their strengths. And there was one, it was last week, that we realized this kid loves to dance. This kid has like this natural, and we were constantly saying, come on, you know, we need to walk quietly. And I was watching. And so he was walking from his music and theater class, and he was struggling. And he actually said, I can't control my body. And so the music teacher says, well, I'll dance with you. And they walk down the hallway. And all of a sudden, this kid was like focused and on point. And it was just a great example of what we had been talking about, that for those kids that are struggling, we need to find, where's their passion? What's the thing that makes them click? Like with this kid, it's dance. And so he's gone in a couple more times and they just kind of danced, and they're looking at theory of dance and dance movements and things I don't understand. But it was pretty exciting to see. It's an exciting thing that we're at the point in our overall school culture, you know, the growth of our culture over the years, that we can take that step to zero in on what makes a struggling student tick and change the program to meet that need, that individual need. So that's pretty exciting. Like I said, Joseph, if you can scroll down one more page, our enrollment is down a little bit. Like I said, one student short of budget, but we have someone coming for a tour, and our ADA is 1% below where we budgeted for month one. So that's not quite where we want to be, but we're close. So we're getting there. We started sending out the truancy letters and having the meetings and things like that. And especially the TK and kinder families, they're like, what? We're supposed to come to school every day? And so we're kind of that training piece for the families as well. Oh, and we're doing our trunk or treat. This year, it's October 28th, I believe, whatever that Friday is. You're invited. I'm gonna invite you every year. And this year, let me double check. It is October 28th. And this year, we are doing a trunk or treat / fill the library event. I was telling Carla before the meeting started, we are participating in a consortium grant called IAL. Which is literacy based, and we're supposed to have a literacy event every month. And it can look like different things, but for October, it's going to be fill the library. And I have a call with Niagara scheduled for this Friday to see how they can support, whether it's through book donations or coming to volunteer to help, you know, pass out candy or things like that. So we're pretty excited about that. Oh, and we got a 3D printer.
Oh, nice.
We're very excited. We built little cats. They're like this big. One in black and one in green, little kitty cats. So Mr. Rios is working hard to create lesson plans because he still has to follow the science curriculum, but to build, to kind of fold in that 3D. And then we had these, they're called ProWise devices, and they're touch screen boards for our classrooms that don't have smart board projectors. And they were, you know, they're 6 years old and they were starting to fade and have lines across them and have weird colors. So we did purchase our Samsung Flips, which are just upgraded digital flip boards. I mean, they, you know, the teachers can write on them and the students can write on them and they can access the internet and things like that. They're pretty nice. And I'm sure we'll be in the same position 6 or 7 years from now. And one of our goals over the next year or two is actually to replace the projectors because those are starting to fade as well. But that's down the line.
Hey, Shannon, do you happen to know what 3D printer you guys have?
I could look it up. I can tell you in about 2 minutes.
Okay. I just wonder like how industrial a school one is compared to what my son is looking for me to get him. They're pricey, but I'm just like, you know, it's so hesitant to buy something like that. You don't know how it works and stuff like that. But if you've bought one and you've seen the object that gets printed, I'm just curious.
I'll be able to tell you.
My son loves STEM and it's very popular for students. I think it really piques their interest. So it's always nice to see what Ballington is doing STEM-wise.
He hasn't been able to actually start it yet because he wants to make sure that he has his head wrapped around it.
Yeah.
But he's pretty excited about it. And he's already thinking of what he can do with even the younger students to work towards it. And I told him what El Centro did last year. And he's like, I don't know if we can do that just yet because the cats took almost 24 hours each.
To build.
So we'll see.
Yeah. And then, you have to buy a lot of the filament stuff that creates it. I'm just curious, what that takes.
Okay. So this was called a Creality
Ender.
Creality Ender 3.
Three. Okay.
Pro 3D printer.
Pro 3D printer. Oh boy. Okay, so I'm interested to see, like, I don't know, if they make something, can you show it to us? I'm just curious. And so I'm wondering if this class would like get together and like determine what they would make, and do they have to program it and stuff like that? I'm like,
they do have to program it.
Yeah, right? To create.
I am so sorry. I thought I had a picture of the cats, but they're not here now. I wonder if I accidentally deleted them. Oh, we were so excited.
Yeah, it's pretty cool from what I've heard. So,
okay. I'm going to put this up to the camera. I hope that's okay.
Yeah. There's a cat.
So it's a little kitty cat. It's what, maybe 2 inches tall?
Yeah, yeah. So they pick the design and then
it took a while to print.
Yeah, yeah. I hear that. So that's really cool, I think, for the kids to see.
Yeah, it's pretty clear how we're going to be able to help the fourth and fifth graders design things and use the programs and things like that.
Yeah.
The big challenge is the younger kids. We want to at least expose them to it.
Right.
So that's, we're still figuring that part out.
Yeah, but for sixth grade, definitely, man, they're so into the creating these things through the 3D printer. It's just, it's cool. Cool. Well, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, if there's no other questions about what's happening, I'm going to tell you all about our Williams visit. And I did not recognize until last night how stressed out I was, but Doreen was there to really, I'm so grateful to Doreen. She gave me such incredible support. In past meetings, I explained how we were identified for Williams legislation monitoring. And yesterday was the visit. The contact at the visit was conducted by the county of San Bernardino. And I was originally told there would be three people and they scheduled 3 hours, but she said, I can't imagine us taking that long. It turned out there were seven people and they stayed for 4.5 hours. So we met in the conference room. They kind of went over what they're going to do. And then the facilities group split up from the curriculum group. And so our safety coordinator and maintenance person, and I want to publicly thank her, Nainine Littles, is our safety coordinator and our maintenance person. And she knocked it out of the park. This facilities inspection was unlike anything I've ever seen. It was when they did the first walkthrough, the like unofficial one, it was the most particular in-depth inspection I've ever seen. They measured, like there's a rule with Williams on how far out decorations can be from the wall. And they had a ruler and they measured them. It was, you know, like this, we couldn't have sanitizing wipes accessible to the students, things like that. And she just worked so hard to make sure. They sent us this list that was 3 pages long at like 10 font. And she made sure that everything on that list was taken care of, and she did, and it was very successful. I don't think they found any issues. There was an air conditioning leak that stained one of the ceiling panels, and she's going to paint it this weekend, but I think they sort of said, don't worry about that one. We trust you that you're going to paint it. And that was about it. Doreen, do you remember anything else on facilities?
Did you mention the fire extinguisher?
Oh, thank you. Thank you. You're right. There was a fire extinguisher that was not included in the last inspection, and we're not sure why. It's an outside company that comes in. They should know where all the fire extinguishers are, but they missed one. So I think she does have to follow up on that one and provide proof that it was inspected. And then there was the, Yeah, that was it. And they were done in like what, 45 minutes?
Yes. He spent longer chatting with us in the parking lot.
Yeah. And I just think it's because Nainine did such a good job communicating with them ahead of time. And she just, like I said, she just knocked it out of the park. And then the curriculum team. So over the last couple of months, I had to log into this portal and list exactly what our curriculum was and what pieces of each curriculum, you know, like with math, we have a student journal and a text. So I had to list that. And they went in and compared our enrollment, and then they counted all the books or the packets. Or if I said that they had to, if the students access their curriculum online, they had to look at each student in the classroom, and the student had to show these people that they could access their social studies or their science or whatever it was. And so Doreen was there helping, because there was one that we had to go back because the students couldn't quite figure it out. So we had to go back and do it for them. And Doreen was sitting there helping me, logging on, clicking on the right Google Classroom. And we got all that taken care of, but it was very intense and it took a really long time. But at the end of the day, the only thing they really need follow up on is student digital access, because part of the legislation is that whatever they're doing in school, they should be able to have at home. You know, the guardian should be able to examine everything they do at home. So if there's things online, that means we need to guarantee that they have access, that they have both connectivity and a device. And if they don't, we need to provide it. And we don't have a super responsive population, so we didn't get all the opt-out forms back. And so she asked students, raise your hand if you can't get on Google Classroom at home. And so all of them raised their hand. And I think that looking back, if maybe we had used different vocabulary, there would have been fewer students that said they couldn't connect. So we met afterwards and she said that let's do a survey of all the parents and find out who really does and does not have connectivity. And I did that and it's been up for like 24 hours and I've gotten 24 response. No, I'm up to 28 responses. But the biggest concern is that I get responses or some sort of communication with the parents of the students who said they didn't have anything. So it took quite a while, but at the end of the day, I think we did well because that's really the only thing we have to follow up on. One little curriculum thing in TK, because TK students don't know how to log in. You know, they can't type in a password. They don't know the letters. So rather than go through and log into each individual student's Google account, we just agreed that I would do a verification form to follow up that they do have access. And Doreen, what am I missing? Did I leave anything out?
No, just, I mean, a tremendous, I think, hats off to your team. A tremendous thank you. I know it was definitely weeks and hours and days preparing and prepping. You know, as you reflect back, I equally felt bad for the reviewers because, I mean, they had to literally take every single textbook and sit there and count them. I mean, it was just, you know, and you know, they had their clipboard and their checklists and their, and I had never seen, I mean, it was almost like counting the number of crowns, right? Or the number of pencils and, you know, the number of, you know, scotch tape you have in your supply cabinet.
Yeah, it was intense. Reviewers were very, very supportive. Don't get me wrong at all. It was a difficult day, but they were extremely supportive and very solution oriented. I will admit the teachers were quite frustrated because it was not a small interruption. It completely upended their entire day with the students. And one teacher mentioned to me when they left, I couldn't get them back. You know, it distracted the students so much. She lost them for the day and that was hard for her. But it was one day out of 183. So I think we'll be okay. One thing that Doreen had asked the reviewer when all was said and done, kind of raised my eyebrows a little bit. I was reflecting on last year. A school can qualify for Williams review based on attendance. All the different dashboard colors, attendance, achievement data, ELD reclassification rates, all those things. So the dashboard colors, they can also qualify if a certain percentage of their teachers don't have a preliminary or clear credential, or if they don't pass a facilities inspection. And given last year, my fear is that many, many, many schools are going to qualify for Williams monitoring because attendance was terrible all across the state because if you had symptoms, you had to quarantine for 2 weeks, you were absent. And one of the things she mentioned yesterday is this, I think it was the state that had made it very clear to their team, there is no cap on the number of schools that get identified for monitoring and get visited. There's no cap. And I was like, oh my gosh, all the schools in the county are gonna be on the list next year. So we'll see what that looks like, but I can say that I'm happy that it's over. I have a follow-up Zoom with her on Friday where I'll do those verifications and kind of wrap up those loose ends and then we'll be done. So I'm pretty happy to say that we're done.
And really she clarified that this information remains at her office. It does not get sent to the CDE or a CDE person does not come out subsequent to her. So definitely, again, with those, you know, minor certifications, I think we'll call it a day and be complete with this. I just kind of stood back and kind of reflected. And I know, Shannon, we spoke a little bit about this afterwards because I said, you know, interestingly enough, I was, you know, most audits or most reviews really evaluate quality and, you know, effectiveness and how your students are performing and how your students are doing. And this one was just, again, like I mentioned earlier, all about counting crowns, all about counting books. And I thought to myself, you know, oh my gosh, you could have all of the resources and still not be, you know, creating great outcomes with student achievement. So that was kind of what I kind of reflected on was, you know.
But I want to thank Doreen again. She moved mountains to be able to be there. Driving from San Diego during rush hour is not an easy task. And I know she was trying to tell me that she didn't actually do very much, just being there, I think, kept me from losing my mind. So I was really, really grateful that she could be there.
Once again, hats off to you and your team. Definitely. Again, I stepped in at the last minute and, you know, logged on a couple computers, of which notably the students helped me log on. I gotta tell you that.
They once, that me, happened once know. Where a first grader had to help her.
yes, he did. He's like, no, you need to press that button. I'm like, okay, got it. So I think they're very well prepared with their digital expertise. So.
And I was very impressed with our students too. I was really worried that we were gonna have some of our younger ones just stare at them. You know, because all these huge grown-ups coming into my classroom and interrupting, but they were really responsive. I was very proud of them. They were polite and responsive and answered their questions. And I told them how proud I was.
Any questions for Shannon on the Williams? I was going to say the Williams Act, but really the Williams visit.
Williams monitoring.
I will briefly tell you about Bill. I mean, I think his principal report really focused a lot on his where he's focused on professional development. As I mentioned earlier, him and his team had an opportunity to attend some professional development in Long Beach this on Sunday, Monday, and today. He actually is a little bit above budget. We budgeted for 225 and he's at 246 at this point. And then really a lot of the focus has been on that MAP testing and really identifying where students are so then they can move them into the appropriate intervention groups and get the academic support. Lots of hiring for Mr. Anderson, whether, and when I say that, substitute teachers, as well as nutritional aides and ACES aides to help us with our extended learning program. So I think that probably summarizes Mr. Anderson's report, unless there are any questions. I don't, okay. That brings us to board closing comments. Any board closing comments? I think we're almost there too. It is now 6:48. So I think we're keeping it in our 90 minutes. This one was a little bit longer. The next board meeting is October 4, and we had identified that one as really the focus will be on a student presentation or student interaction or staff interaction, something like that, something fun. So that is something that we will work to put together for you for October 4's meeting. If there are no additional comments or closing comments, I will officially end us at 6:49, if that's okay with the board members, and wish everyone a wonderful evening. And again, thank you for all your support through this meeting.
Thank you, everyone. Have a great night.
Thank you. Bye.
And Joseph, as always, thank you for your help. We appreciate it.
Yes. Pleasure. Thank you.
Good night, everybody.
Have a good evening. Thank you. Bye-bye.